Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So, I don't know what really spurred this, and maybe Max, you can help me with it, but I got several of what Jarrett wrote to me. Jarrett wrote, is the uniform going to Spear Feather logo and Lombardi year throwback? First of all, the Lombardi year was the last year, 69, of the Spear Feather helmet. They then went to the R helmet in 70 and 71 before going to what we all know as the Redskin logo from 72 on, the one created by Blackie Wetzel. But I don't know. There was no news on this, no official news on anything dealing with the uniform. But I guess that there were some pictures circulating with this helmet, right? Last week for some reason?
No, so something happened at Media Day. They're just doing a bunch of, you know, normal photos, like team hype-up stuff. And there is they have a set that's kind of like Temple of Doom style, where Jaden walks in and there's a spear that is going through like the ceiling and this big beam of light. And Jaden picks up the spear. And so that got everybody very excited. And people started speculating about whether that there would be a spear kind of alternate or a return to that type of uniform. So it all stems from this one video at Media Day.
Okay. Look, here's what I know. I told you this. This is what I had, remember, all the way back in October, in the fall, during this season. When we talked about this, it was one of the few times we actually talked about name or uniforms during the season, because the season was actually worth talking about on its own, because they had a really good season and the games were great. But I shared with you last fall, early in the fall, that I had learned that the name was, you know, very much in question as to whether or not they would do anything with that. You know, it was still certainly being considered. What really gave them the path of least resistance on the name was the incredible season they had. We all understand that. But I said then, I was told by a very, very strong source that they were going to do something with the uniforms, that they were going to make the uniforms look like the old uniforms, that whatever that cranberry was going to be back to the old burgundy, and the uniforms would change in 2025 as an alternate uniform for a couple of games, and then by the time we get to 2026, 2027, somewhere in that time frame, there would be more likely than not an official change to a uniform that looks more like what the old uniforms used to look like. You guys are bigger uniform nerds than me. So I'm not going to sit here and get into stripes and where they are in the entire thing. I was told that a uniform that looks like the old uniform and a change in the uniforms was definitely in play. That was last October when I said that. Okay, I told you guys that, and as it related to the name, even though I know our station put out some tweets about, you know, what I had said, something, and I had not said it actually, I said that the name is separate, because that's a bigger issue and will be dealt with, and if they don't end up changing the name, they're still going to do something with the uniforms. And that's what I know to be true even today. Now, that does not include the old logo. That it doesn't, because it's not a match for the team name currently. And then with respect to spear and feather, arrow and feather, however you describe it, maybe, but I don't know anything about that. I just know, and I'll, again, what I said last October, fall, early fall, I have it on good authority that they are going to go back to something resembling the old uniforms, with sans the, you know, more recent Redskins logo. All right. So, and it would be a rollout with alt opportunities in 2025. How many alt opportunities? Don't they get 3 or 4 each year? Is that right, Max?
Something like that.
Yeah. So in these alt opportunities this year, I would imagine that at least in a couple of them, we're going to have a uniform that looks like the old uniform. All right. You know, I can't describe what the logo will be on the helmet. I'm going to guess that it's the W. I'm going to guess that they stick with that. And then eventually the plan would be to go back to something resembling the old uniform, sans the last logo, in the 26 season. That's nothing has changed. And I have occasional conversations with people about this, and that has been the same since October. Yeah, I'm excited to see what they look like. I hope it's, you know, championship burgundy and gold. You know, we see the uniform, if it doesn't include the helmet and the logo, so be it. But if the rest of the uniform looks like what our uniforms used to look like, I'll be thrilled with that. Be happy. So I think we'll probably see something resembling the older uniforms in the alt opportunities in the upcoming season. Remember, they have to announce their uniform schedule for the season at some point. I don't know by when. But in terms of why I had, you know, a half dozen to 10 of you reaching out asking about it, I guess it's what Max just said. I don't follow the day-to-day on the uniform talk. I don't. But I will, once again, in a few weeks, reach out to see if they're on, you know, on schedule for what I was told last October. All right? So there you go. Uniform talk. Done. Looking, you know what? How about opening up the season with an alt uniform? Are you allowed to do that? You allowed to open up the season against the Giants wearing a throwback uniform that you're eventually going to go to?
I don't think so, but seeing us come out, like, I people hate on the black uniform. I kind of like it.
I didn't mind the black uniform at all.
It works with one specific helmet that I believe the NFL is starting to phase out, which is tough. Yeah. It's the Speed Flex. It's the little hexagon with the W in the middle. That's what sells it for me. But aside from that, it would be really cool to see them come out like all black for opening week against the Giants. I think that would be a great look.
All right. Now, the other team, we already talked about Fred Smith. We talked about that in the open. And sort of a complicated view of Fred Smith for Redskin fans, for longtime Washington football fans. Phenomenal entrepreneur, you know, all time, you know, in part responsible for, along with the other two minority owners, for what ended up beginning, it ended up being the beginning of a process that led to Dan Snyder selling the team. But there's also no doubt that in their vindictive hatred of Snyder, they went scorched earth. And part of that was Fred Smith and Federal Express demanding that the name get changed in the summer of 2020. That adds sort of the complexity to the way Skins fans view Fred Smith. But anyway, we talked about that in the open of the show today. What was this Josh Harris buying this Jaden Daniels card? You know, some sort of Topps Chrome card that he purchased at Fanatics Fest, which I guess was over the weekend, because I did see last night some video of Jaden and Dan Marino together, which was pretty cool. But what, to explain the card that Josh Harris purchased.
So here's the audio from the video that Michael Rubin and Fanatics put out from the
Michael
event.
Rubin is the owner of Fanatics.
Yes. So
because he's been on Shark Tank a bunch of times.
Oh, yeah.
Really sharp dude. All right. So this is, what are we going to hear?
So this is Michael Rubin on stage with Josh Harris and Jaden Daniels asking about the card. He's looking for the most expensive card in the room. And I believe the guy who has the Jaden Daniels card is probably the front runner.
We need the most expensive Jaden Daniels
right
card.
Here. Hey.
We got it right here. Right here.
He's got the best Panini. Which card is it?
Black Prism.
Black Prism. What's it worth?
What's it worth, Ron?
$2 million.
$2 million.
What, Mike, what's this really worth?
Hey, Paul Skeens is 1.2. What's his best card worth?
That's a debut fest, huh?
That's the one at the Manners. We went
to the other one.
What's it really worth, Mike?
Can I say this? Alexis, Serena Williams' husband, put a public bounty on that card before it got pulled. First one for $250K. First bounty, raw.
Before,
so now, before ever. So we outbid him. and now it's a 9-5. And Jaden cooked in the playoffs. We're the biggest Commander fans in the world.
In the world.
All right, one time, $500,000. You want it from Josh Harris to Jaden here right now. And you're going to sign Jaden's jersey back to it. $500,000 one time. You want it? Yes or no? Yes or no?
So that's the audio of the card being sold to Josh Harris.
So Josh Harris told Ruben, I'm offering $500,000. He went back to the owner of the card. Will you take it? They took it. Done.
Yeah, Harris was standing right over his shoulder, and I'm sure said something to Ruben. He's like, $500,000, offer it to him right now. And so the guy got up on stage. They took a picture. Jaden signed the jersey.
But these guys were looking for $250,000, and he offered $500,000?
So Serena Williams' husband put a $250 or $250.
Who's Serena Williams' husband?
He's the CEO of Reddit. I forget his name
really?
Off the top of my head.
I didn't know that, I don't think.
Yeah.
Maybe I didn't know
and
that.
He went to UVA, so he's a local guy, kind of. But he put out a bounty of $250,000 for the card, and I guess these guys outbid him, so I'm guessing that they paid, let's just say, $300,000 for it. So they flipped it and sold it to Josh for $500,000. So a little $200,000 profit, you meet Jaden Daniels, you get a signed jersey, and you get the whole photo op. I think that's well worth it.
And this card is literally only one is made?
Yeah.
That's why it's so valuable?
So from Fanatics Collect, so the Washington Commanders owner Josh Harris bought Jaden Daniels Prism Black Finite 1/1 for $500,000. So it is a 1/1 card and is the most expensive Jaden Daniels card sale ever.
It's obviously a rookie card.
Yes.
There's no other card for him.
Correct.
Yeah. I'm reading something about grading services. The card received a 9.5. Is that just the condition of the card?
Pretty much, yeah. Anywhere between like a 9.5 and a 10 is like damn near perfect. Okay. Anything lower than that, like still, if you got a 9 card, like you
okay,
got a pretty good card.
Immediately, I'm curious. Does Josh Harris literally just pull out a checkbook, or does he just get wiring instructions and wire them $500,000 and then they turn the card over?
I think.
Do you have any idea how that transaction's completed? And then, what is Josh Harris going to do with the card?
So I'm not 100% sure on like how the transaction was completed. I'm sure I don't know if he had his checkbook on him, but I'm sure he got the guy's info. Gave him all that, but they plan on it's going to be a business write-off. They're going to display it at Northwest Stadium.
They're going to display it.
Yeah,
is that an exciting display?
It's going to be. It's something cool to look at.
It is
something pass by and be
is
like,
is it worth $500,000 bucks?
When you see it, you'll see $500,000 right there in front of you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I mean, is that something that you think our fans are like really impressed that Josh Harris did?
I mean,
or does he now have to do it with, Samrestil's card too?
I was driving
give up $50,000 for that or whatever it'd be worth.
Well, so I was driving into work today and Eric Bickle had quite the take on the junkies this morning that I'm probably going to borrow. If Josh Harris is spending $500,000 willy-nilly on a Jaden Daniels card, surely they can afford to pay Terry McLaurin a few extra $1 million, right?
Yeah, but, this is a marketing expense. It's it's a little bit different. They can afford to pay Terry. Of course they can.
Of course.
But, the issue is, like we talked about, this is the most expensive player investment they're going to make, or it will make, since they bought the team. All right. I mean, honestly, just me, not a big collector of anything. I'm very much a minimalist. People walk into my home. My wife is sort of the same way, and it's like, you basically have a silver bowl with like a green apple in it. We're just minimalists at the highest level. I do have a big box up in my attic with a bunch of stuff in it, including, and I've not opened it, football cards that I was given during the Super Bowl back in 91, and I think they're rookie cards. I've looked into it. I don't think there would be anything worth a significant amount of money, even if it was in there. But I just don't collect stuff. This is so not interesting to me. And I know it's big business. Trust me. I know it is. There's no chance that I would go out of my way to see the card on display at Northwest Field. But for those that will, good job, Josh. Good job. $500,000 for a card. Okay.
It's a 1/1.
Yeah. It's one
unmoved.
One.
You are unmoved. The least moved anyone's ever been about this issue.
Not honestly, I'm interested because I'm always curious about things, especially when they're sort of the business of it. I am interested in that part. I'm just, from a consumer standpoint, you're not going to get me to be excited about seeing that on display.
Yeah, it just doesn't.
Yeah, I'm going to be much more excited to see him throw for 5 touchdowns and beat the Eagles again, like he did in December.
Fair.
All right, when we come back, I had Logan Paulson on the show last week on my podcast. I played some of that for you on Friday. I'm going to play the rest of it for you when we come back. He talks about the defense and what this team can be if it's much better defensively. You'll hear that next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So last week, Logan Paulson joined me. He's always so good. Logan really knows the game, and he's out there for everything. And I played some of that for you on Friday. There was another 10 minutes or so that I thought was worthwhile playing, where he gets into, you know, some of the current players that are not new that he thinks could break out potentially this year. And then he gets into the importance of defensive improvement. So here's the rest of my conversation last week with Logan Paulson. We continue with Logan Paulson, and I asked you about some of the new players, new faces that you're excited about. What about the returning players, specifically the players who didn't contribute in a meaningful way? Do you have a candidate for, let's call it, a breakout season in 2025?
Yeah, so that's a good question. Obviously, I talked about Luke McCaffrey right already in terms of his improvement. We'll see in terms of how the depth chart shakes out, like where he actually lands. Two guys that caught my eye in an impressive way. One was Jordan McGee. Again, like I was in love with him. I was infatuated with him at the beginning right of last year during training camp. I just thought he moved so well. He was physical. And then for him to get hurt, like on the first play of the first preseason game, was so disappointing, because then he kind of was negotiating that injury for the rest of the year, or derivatives of that injury, you know, the knee, then the hamstring, then the ankle, and he was never quite himself. But I am excited to see what he looks like. Another guy that, again, every time I look at him playing linebacker is Dominique Hampton, and he just looks like a pterodactyl out there. And when you've got long arms like that, the range that he's got, the coverage instincts he's got, he just covers a lot of ground and takes up a lot of space, especially in the passing game. And I think about the way the linebacker position is going and the archetypes of the position, like Fred Warner is a good example of that. Right. Like these guys that are converted safeties that can play in the box, that have range, good coverage instincts. Like, I'm not saying he's going to be, you know, this dynamic guy right out the gate, but the frame, the profile, the movement skills of both of those guys are stuff that just it's hard to ignore when you're watching practice. And I understand they're running with the twos and sometimes they're running with the threes, but those are guys that I really am excited about. And I think, you know, given the fact that they're being mentored by a guy who's going to be in the Hall of Fame and Bobby Wagner, like hopefully some of that gold jacket rubs off on them and they figure some stuff out and become really solid pros moving forward.
By the way, speaking of sort of the blending of those positions, safety and linebacker, which of the two is Kane Medrano, the rookie from UCLA?
Oh, my. Yeah, man, he's a fun guy to watch move around on the field. Like, he does, I think he definitely has more of kind of that big nickel to his game than, like, true in-the-box linebacker. But I think that was one of the enigmas about watching him at UCLA is, like, I think his true home is kind of that star big nickel spot, you know, where you're kind of matching up and covering a lot of ground in space. But he did play in the box, and he did even some work on the edge, like setting an edge as a stand-up outside linebacker. So he definitely, to me, the movement skills seem to fit in the safety box more. But, man, he's a fun guy to watch. Like, his ball awareness is very high. His coverage instincts, his movement skills are great. Like, there's a play that I was just thinking about while what you were asking about it, where he's on the field with Dominique Hampton, and they're just able to cover so much ground because of their movement skills and because of their athleticism. Now, they're not in pads. They haven't had to tackle anybody yet, and that's a big part of the position. But those two guys, I think, will be really interesting. And I don't want to be adding this fodder to off-season hype for people, but I get excited about big athletes that move well because of the potential that they bring to the spot. And so we'll see how that training camp looks for both those guys, but I'm definitely going to keep an eye on them in training camp, and hopefully they can carve out a role, because that would be really exciting to get athletes like that on the field.
So last year, they actually contended for a Super Bowl. They were 60 minutes away from it without a great defense. My contention is, if they're not improved significantly on defense, it's going to be hard to get back to where they were last year. So I would ask you, do you have expectations that this defense will be improved? And if so, why?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, actually. And I do think they are going to be significantly better. And it's mostly because of the stuff we talked about earlier with Daron Payne, Kinlaw, Dazon Newton, Goldman, Dietrich Wise, Cleveland Farrell being back. I think what they did is they went out and they found people to make this team better on first down. I think when you look at last year, the big struggle, in my opinion, was how this team handled first down runs specifically. And you're getting into, you know, second and sixes, second and fives, because the running efficiency for the opposition team was so high. So you've gotten out, you've gotten better on first down, and you didn't just get better. I think you found guys that are like specialty pitchers in baseball a little bit. Like Goldman is a true shade nose player, and there aren't a lot of those guys in the NFL. And you get a guy that has that kind of athletic profile. Now, he's not going to, you know, play 60 snaps for you, but if he can come out on 20 and do his thing, which is split double teams, keep linebackers clean, make you a little bit more efficient in terms of stopping the run on first down, add in Dietrich Wise, his size, his ability to rush the passer inside, outside, I think is going to be really a nice kind of, again, add-on feature there. And then if you get Kinlaw going in the right direction, man, like, he is an explosive dude who can really be disruptive. I think, again, those additions in the front, I think, make Bobby Wagner better. I think they make it easier for him to do what he does well, which is mirror the running back, fit gaps, make tackles, right? And then if you're better on first down, now we can get into some of the exotic stuff that Joe Witt Jr. wanted to do. And if you go back and watch that first Tampa Bay game, man, like, they had some really fun pressure packages lined up. They had some really cool kind of zone, fire zone pressures, man pressures, cross dogs, different things to create pressure. And so I'm very confident that if you can get into more second and long, third and long situations, Joe Witt Jr. can get into his bag more. So I just look at the additions that they've made on that defensive line, and everyone's got to stay healthy, obviously. But I think that puts them in a better position to be who they want to be on second and third and long. They've added some good coverage pieces to the back end. We already talked about Trey Amos. Love Mikey Sanders still in the slot. Marshawn Lattimore, again, we got to see where he's at, but he looked good in minicamp. So, and I love Percy Butler, and I love Will Harris, and I love Quan Martin in the back end, kind of in a rotation there. So I do think they're going to be better because of the personnel additions they've made to be better on first down. And I think, to your other question, for them to go where they want to go, you need to see that level of improvement. So maybe I'm kind of anticipating something positive because I want them to get back to, you know, to the Super Bowl and the playoffs, obviously. But I think the personnel moves are very, very smart along that defensive line, because there's a clear vision of how this team gets better very quickly from them.
Great answer. I hope you're right. You know, you touched on a player, and I'll just finish up with this. Are you confident that Marshawn Lattimore can be Marshawn Lattimore of Pro Bowl years in New Orleans or not?
So I don't think he's ever going to get back to that level of player. You know, time waits for no man. But what I am confident in is that Joe Witt Jr. is going to be able to maximize what he does, right, and not put him in these kind of these binds the way he had to be in at some points last year in terms of learning a new system, coming off a short week, in terms of getting healthy. Remember, the hamstring thing was always kind of omnipresent throughout the year. So I think I have faith in Joe Witt Jr. I have faith in that defensive staff to find the best version of Marshawn Lattimore. And even though that might not be the guy that was dominating the league a couple years ago, I think he's still a pretty damn good football player. So that's where my optimism comes, is in the staff. Like, a good coaching staff, man, can make a it always elevates players, and I think that's what we're going to see here.
That's an interesting answer, because they didn't make that trade to have a player that got coached up to a level that was really good. They made that trade in hopes that they were snagging a Pro Bowl corner.
Well, what I would say to that is, like, this is just my personal opinion, and maybe that's why this sounds weird, is because I think a Pro Bowl corner is so such a fugazi. It's like not a real thing. Like, right. Obviously there's Pat Surtain, but if you look at Sauce Gardner as an example, like, he had a down year last year, and he might have gone to the Pro Bowl, but like, when I watched his film, like, I don't know if he deserved that. So what I am saying is, I think you've got a good player, an instinctive football player, a tough football player, a guy with good ball skills, right, and is competitive at the catch point, is going to not shy away from any matchups, and now you've got a staff that can help elevate him and put him in a position where he's better than Sauce Gardner was last year, right? We saw what bad coaching and kind of a tumultuous situation did for Sauce Gardner, who's one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL, what that did for his career last year. So that's what I'm saying. I think you get a guy who, again, great ball skills, competitive tackler, competitive in terms of matchups, like, he's not shying away from anything, he's instinctive, and now you put him in a system where maybe he does get back to that Pro Bowl level. So that's why I say, like, the Pro Bowl corner thing is where I kind of back off, because I don't think that's a real thing. I think the player by themselves aren't. It has to be elevated by scheme, basically. And I think the scheme here is good enough to get that done.
Logan Paulson is not fugazi. He is the real deal. He is totally genuine and one of my favorite people to have on this podcast. Thank you for doing this. @Logan_Paulson82 on Instagram. Take Command Podcast with Craig Hoffman and all that he does for the Commanders website and YouTube channel. Thanks. We'll talk again, I'm sure, before the season starts.
Awesome. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate you having me on, buddy.
I love Logan, and he gave you a couple names. I'm going to come back to that last part about Lattimore here in a moment. But I do think it's interesting that, like, he, you know, mentioned, you know, some guys like Dominic Hampton. You know, we've heard a lot about, like, Javonte Jean-Baptiste. Last year, you started to hear that, you know, he was impressive. I think that is often, you know, especially when you have a good team coming back, that more often than not, the players that were drafted the year before are the ones to really spend the most time sort of viewing in terms of contribution. Rookies rarely make massive contributions. You know, a lot of times first rounders, second rounders don't even do it. Last year, you know, they obviously had some really good rookie contributions. All time from the quarterback, really good contribution from Mikey Sanristil as well. I think, you know, the Luke McCaffreys, the Jean-Baptistes, the Hamptons, you know, somebody, the Johnny Newton for sure, the Ben Sinnott for sure, that somebody's going to step up and end up being a guy that we're talking about all season long as being a guy that is a major contributor to whatever they're doing, you know, which would, you know, at this point seem to be, you know, a good season in the making. As long as the quarterback stays healthy. But I thought that answer about Marshawn Lattimore from Logan Paulson was an interesting one. I'm not even sure he recognized it when he said it. But I'm going to play that for you when we come back, and we're going to talk about that for just a bit. His thought on what Marshawn Lattimore can be moving forward. I don't think it's exactly what they wanted when they traded for him. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. Don't forget, you can watch the show on our YouTube channel, the 980 YouTube channel. When you get there, hit the subscribe button and hit the like button, please.
All right, last night, the Oklahoma City Thunder defeated the Indiana Pacers in Game 7, 103-91. Tyrese Haliburton goes down with what appeared to be an Achilles injury midway through the first quarter. The Pacers kept their foot on the gas all the way to halftime, and then the Thunder came out swinging with 18 points off turnovers and outscoring the Pacers 34-20. That was all she wrote. The Oklahoma City Thunder are your NBA champions, and surprise, surprise, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander wins finals MVP. The Thunder are the second youngest NBA champion in the last 70 years, and they become the fourth team in NBA history to record 84 wins in a season. Over the weekend, LSU wins the College World Series over Coastal Carolina with a two-game sweep, LSU's second title in just 3 years. Kevin Durant was traded to the Houston Rockets in exchange for Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, the number 10th overall pick, and 5 second round picks. The Nats, they fall to the Dodgers yesterday by a score of 13-7. The game got so out of hand that Kike Hernandez came out to pitch for the Dodgers in the ninth. Nathaniel Lowe with the lone home run for the Nats. They continue their West Coast road trip tonight and will take on the Padres. First pitch is at 9:40, and Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 9:10. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So I don't think he's ever going to get back to that level of player. You know, time waits for no man. But what I am confident in is that Joe Witt Jr. is going to be able to maximize what he does, right, and not put him in these kind of these binds the way he had to be in at some points last year in terms of learning a new system, coming off a short week, in terms of getting healthy. Remember, the hamstring thing was always kind of omnipresent throughout the year. So I think I have faith in Joe Witt Jr. I have faith in that defensive staff to find the best version of Marshawn Lattimore. And even though that might not be the guy that was dominating the league a couple of years ago, I think he's still a pretty damn good football player. So that's where my optimism comes, is in the staff. Like a good coaching staff, man, it always elevates players. And I think that's what we're going to see here.
I hope he's right, but I do think the first part of that answer about Marshawn Lattimore from Logan Paulson was interesting, if not alarming, that he's not going to be the player that he once was. Washington sent a 3rd, 4th, and 6th round pick in the just concluded April 2025 draft to New Orleans for Marshawn Lattimore. They didn't do that in hopes that they could get a player that they could coach up to a high-quality player. They were hoping that they would get a high-quality player that they could coach up to elite level, because he's played at that level previously and not that long ago, although, to be fair, 22, 23, and 24 were seasons in which he missed 10 games, 7 games, and 8 games. So that's 17, 8, 25 games in the last 3 seasons. He played 7 in 2022. He played 10 in 2023, and he played 9 games, 7 with New Orleans and 2 with Washington in 2024. So perhaps the injuries have diminished his ability, but their hamstring injuries, they didn't make a trade at the trade deadline with the record they had and the hopes they had for the postseason this past year and then future postseasons to get a player that you could coach up to be a good corner. They wanted a really good corner that hopefully they could coach up into an elite corner. He made the Pro Bowl 3 years in a row, made the Pro Bowl 4 out of a 5-year stretch where he was the defensive rookie of the year back in 2017. And there were some really good corners in the league at the time. You know, you had Jalen Ramsey and you had Stephon Gilmore. And then obviously into the league came Sertan and Sauce Gardner. You know, he was considered, if not in that category, just barely a cut below that. That, I thought, was an interesting comment. I think it was very honest. I wonder if it is a reflection of what they're thinking, that they may realize at this point they're not going to get the guy that was a Pro Bowl corner, you know, in for 3 straight years, 19, 20, and 21, and probably would have been so in the years that followed, but he just couldn't stay on the field, couldn't stay healthy. Look, you don't bail on a player that you think can really play well for you, even if you ultimately overpaid for what you got. You didn't get what you thought you were paying for. Corner is going to be really interesting, but so is pass rush, so is stopping the run. everything they do defensively, we are going to be scrutinizing right from day one. And, you know, in thinking about, you know, their schedule, they three of their first four games, right, are against the Giants, the Raiders, and the Falcons. They've got the Packers in that, you know, week two, short week Thursday night game on Amazon Prime at Lambeau. And you're going to get Jordan Love and you're going to get, you know, Josh Jacobs and a very capable offensive team. Now, there are players on the Giants team for sure. Malik Nabers is not an easy check. We have no idea what the Raiders will be with Geno Smith, who inexplicably was ranked ahead of Jaden Daniels on that Yahoo list last week. And we don't know what Ashton Jeanty will be right from the beginning. We know their tight end is a handful. We do know that. And then you get Atlanta with truly one of the best running backs in the game. And, you know, not a bad wide receiver in Drake London. You know, they had a difficult time, remember, in the first half of that game when they were down 17-7 at halftime to Atlanta, I think, in that week. That next to last game of the year, the overtime win. And they could not stop Bijan Robinson. They couldn't stop anybody, but I think he had like 80-something yards in the first half. So they'll have that challenge. But cornerback-wise, you know, they're going to have a chance to shine early. The defense in general, again, we don't know much about these teams, but the defense in general is not starting off with Mahomes, Detroit, and Philly, even though all those teams are on the schedule. You know, the first, Green Bay week two challenge. The Chargers on the road week five, you know, challenge. We don't know what Ben Johnson's team's going to look like with Caleb Williams when they come here for a Monday night game, second week of October. You know, Dallas, Dax upright, CeeDee Lamb, Pickens, that could be challenging. Man, there is that stretch of, you know, Herbert, then whatever the Bears could be, Dallas, Mahomes, Seattle, and then Detroit, Miami, Denver. You know, with some real capability offensively. It's different than last year, and it wasn't good last year. But things change, man. They change a lot on defense in particular. That's going to be the most intriguing thing. I mean, the most anticipated thing will be, can't wait to see what Jaden looks like in year two. You know, can't wait to see what he looks like with hopefully a healthy and motivated Deebo Samuel in the lineup. You know, expecting Terry back, yes, by the regular season. But that, you know, I think that that's kind of a given, that they will be a good offensive team. Maybe it doesn't happen in the electric way it happened super early last year, after the opener anyway. But defensively, that's the key to the season. Got to be a better defensive team. You know, I was thinking about something this morning. Oklahoma City winning the championship with defense, because that's how they won it. They won it with defense. Is somewhat similar to the way the Eagles won the Super Bowl. Like, you had the NFL and NBA with two teams that in many ways kind of mirror each other. You know, they're tough, they're hard-nosed, they're physical. Now, the Eagles were more experienced, obviously. They've got some age, you know, in certain spots, but not an old team by any stretch of the imagination. But defense first, Oklahoma City defense first. And then they had, you know, a couple of players that delivered big time offensively when they needed it. I mean, obviously Saquon Barkley all year, SGA all year. There's some similarities in the way the Eagles kind of won their title and the way Oklahoma City grinded their way to their title. All right, Ben Standig is going to join us. He's coming up. We may talk more about the NBA Finals because I know he wants to do that. But we'll obviously talk some football team as well. All right, Kevin Sheehan Show. Team 980, theteam980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app. And don't forget, you can listen to us and watch us now on our YouTube 980 page. Like it and subscribe it when you get there.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.